Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to your calls in just a few moments. I want to start with a letter from my wife. In that letter, she quoted Charles Haddon Spurgeon, where he says, "But now, O Lord, we desire to find thee. Our longing is to feel thy presence. The sickbed is soft when thou art there. The furnace of affliction grows cool when thou art there, and the house of prayer, when thou art present, is none other than the house of God. It is the very gate of heaven. Our very highest prayer is for perfect holiness, complete consecration, entire cleansing from evil. Take our heart, our head, our hands, our feet, and use us all for thee. Lord, take our substance. Let us not hoard it for ourselves, nor spend it for ourselves. Take our talent. Let us not try to educate ourselves that we may have the repute of being wise, but let every gain of mental attainment be still, that we may serve thee better. May every breath before thee, may every minute be spent for thee. Help us to live while we live, and while we are busy in the world, as we must be, for we are all called to it, may we sanctify the world for thy service. May we be lumps of salt in the midst of society. May our spirit and temper, as well as our conversation, be heavenly. May there be an influence about us that shall make the world better before we leave it. Lord, hear us in this thing." And then Kathy went on to write to me, "I was drawn back to these words of Spurgeon in my quiet time in the middle of the night." And then she says this, "May the dream be true, that I finally can die to self. My prayer is that the next minutes, days, months, years of our precious life pursuing God are spent helping each other to know the true life with our Lord." A wonderful letter from my wife, Kathy. I was reminded of Jabez Stone, who was a fictional character, hit the big time in the Academy Award-winning movie The Devil and Daniel Webster. Stone wasn't evil, but he appeared to be the unluckiest man in all of New Hampshire. Unlike men who have the Midas touch, everything he touched turned to gravel in his teeth. And one day he couldn't take it anymore, and that day he vowed that he would sell his soul to the devil for a shortcut to success in life. And the devil obliged, and at the expense of his soul promised to prosper Stone for 7 years. Outwardly, Stone's life was immediately flooded with good fortune, with all the trappings of success. Inwardly, however, his spirit had begun to shrivel up and die. He was about to gain the whole world, but lose his very soul. Of course, this movie was not only played in movie theaters, but it was based on the best-selling story by Stephen Vincent Benet. And it can't help but cause you to think back to the words of Jesus Christ, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you." And I thought about that not only in concert with the letter I got from my wife for our anniversary, but also I thought about it in concert with the wealthy and the successful and the famous when they die. That very moment, they may have accolades on earth, but how will it be with their soul? And what would you give for your soul when you die, regardless of the accolades on earth? How will it be when you encounter God? And every single person will, in fact, encounter God. It's one of the reasons that we do what we do. It is one of the reasons that we ask you to stand with us as we stand shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Every single soul, every single person, body, soul, unity, will spend an eternity with Christ or an eternity separated from his glory, goodness, and grace. And he has left us to be arbiters of his grace. With that, we'll go to the phone calls. First up is Kenny. He's listening in Athens, Alabama. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, Hank. I heard you talk about when we die, we will have a physicality to us. And I've been blessed by God to know the Greek and the Hebrew, and it seems like that conflicts with the Greek of 1 Corinthians 15. I just wondered what you meant by physicality.
Yeah, well, I think that the whole of the Christian faith is not Platonic. It's very physical. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, had you been in the tomb, you would have seen dust fly off the very stone on which he lay. And so as our Lord arose physically, so too we will rise physically. And I don't think this is a matter of knowing Greek or Hebrew. I think it is simply a matter of reading the analogies that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He uses all kinds of analogies from the real world in which we live to underscore the reality of our physical resurrection. And that has been the view of evangelical and Orthodox Christianity from its very inception, that we will rise physically, that our mortal bodies will become immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, that the soul will return to the body, and that body will be resurrected like unto Christ's resurrection body.
Okay. So you don't necessarily mean matter and energy as it is in this space-time continuum.
Well, I'm not even sure that we know in an age of scientific enlightenment what matter is. But given that, what I'm saying is that there is physicality, and that physicality, we don't know exactly what it entails. A caterpillar is transformed into a butterfly. It's the same physically, but it's different organizationally. It has a different digestive system. It now has a proboscis. It now has wings. It now has a field of vision and color acuity that exceeds that of the caterpillar or of humankind for that matter. So we don't know exactly what that means, nor do we say that every atom is resuscitated in resurrection, but that there's continuity between the body that was and the body that will be.
Okay, so you mean we're not platonically in that we're not disembodied ideas or concepts, that the difference between psychikos and pneumatikos in 1 Corinthians 15, it means some kind of housing for our spirit.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. When 1 Corinthians 15 uses the phrase spiritual body in verse 44, I believe, it doesn't mean immaterial body, which would be incoherent, but it means a spirit-dominated body. And that's what's being communicated through the various analogies that Paul uses from astronomy and botany and the like.
Right, because the word soma for body isn't even in there. It's actually has the kos ending, which is the pertinence ending. It actually literally means pertaining to the spirit, and the body we get necessarily from the context, right?
Well, the basic idea here, again, is a body that is dominated by the spirit. It's not a body that is corrupted. So spiritual body does not mean non-material body.
Okay. Okay, one quick thing. In your apologetic ministry, I have a fervency to defend the faith as well. If you had to name one central thing that happened that you would tell up-and-coming apologists to do, what would it be?
Well, I think to be conversant with one of the issues that you just brought up, resurrection, but it all starts with the three great apologetic issues for me. The first is that God exists And you need to be able to demonstrate an age of scientific enlightenment that it is implausible to suggest that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produced morals. Secondly, I think that it's critical to be able to demonstrate that the Bible to be a reliable authority for faith and practice. And thirdly, we have to be able to demonstrate that Christ is, in fact, divine, that he had the power to lay down his life and take it up again, thus demonstrating that he is God. Resurrection is central to the historic Christian faith. You've probably heard it said that if you took resurrection out of the Bible, it would be nothing but a torn and tattered document devoid of all meaning. You can take some things out, but you can't take resurrection out.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time, and God mega bless you.
Thank you so much, Kenny. It was a pleasure to talk to you. Be right back.
Being asleep at the wheel is dangerous. In fact, it can be downright deadly. That should be a wake-up call to Christians who are dangerously asleep at the wheel when it comes to wokeism. It's a deadly ideology that permits no discussion or debate. Simply obey or else. Make no mistake, people who are tolerant of such madness and incivility aren't being gracious. They are being dangerously and perhaps fatally naive. So grave are the threats of wokeism to civilization as we have known it that we have dedicated an entire special edition of the Christian Research Journal to analyzing this now rampant social and mental disease. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org, that's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI That's 888-7000-CRI.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone caller, Sean, next, listening in Medford, Oregon. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Hank, blessings to you and your family.
Thank you.
And, my question is, what I have a problem is with when an unbeliever uses God, like GD, and that's not God's name. God is who he is. What is it meant on the third commandment then when God said, don't take my name in vain?
Yeah, well, in the Hebrew of the third commandment, you have the tetragrammaton, but it would apply to any reference to God. So in the Hebrew, it's YHWH, and you know we apply our own vowels to that. But the reality is that it's not the word that's being used here. It is the meaning that is poured into the word, which is to say that it is the I am, it is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, it is the one who knit us together in our mother's womb, it is the sovereign of the universe. And there are many ways in which this commandment can be violated. You can use the name of God as a swear word, you can trivialize the name of God as though it were, well, insignificant. You can praise God with your lips, but your heart is far from him. That would also be a way of taking the name of the Lord in vain. You can use his name insincerely in any context. All of these ways are ways of using the name of the Lord your God in vain.
So there's not any particular name he is talking about there?
No, the principle is not the word that is being used, but the divine God who is being abused.
Okay, the only reason I come up with this is because I got thrown for a loop when a friend of mine who is a Jehovah's Witness says that's not his name, so it doesn't bother him when someone swears by it like that. And that threw me for a loop for a long time. I didn't know how to answer that.
Well, you know, if you look at the unspeakable four letters, that is the tetragrammaton, the YHWH, this is representing the name of God. But the name carries with it the concept of eternal self-existence, and therefore it is even applied in that sense to Christ. In Romans 10:13, for example, calling on Yahweh and calling on Jesus Christ are equated, therefore demonstrating that Jesus Christ is God. So the point here is that the inference is that what is in view is the God who created the universe. It is not the name that you're using. I mean, names are significant and shouldn't be marginalized. It's one of the reasons the tetragrammaton is in existence to begin with. The reason was that the ancient Jews so reverenced the name of God that they didn't want to pronounce the name of God, lest they violate the name of God in some way. But in essence, for us, the real issue is not the word that is being used, but a recognition that that word represents the God who has revealed himself to us in the pages of Scripture as one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct.
I like that. I like that answer. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Sam next. He's listening in Virginia. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Hank. First of all, thank you for your ministry and the tools with which you equip me.
It's my privilege.
My question relates to the earlier question about kids going to college and drifting away from their faith. And I'll give you a specific example and then a specific question. My daughter attended church with us her entire life. She went to Awana. She taught Sunday school. And she, from my eyes, loved Christ. She's now a sophomore in university. She's a very bright and analytical girl, and she is drifting. She currently does not attend church, and she says that her faith isn't as important to her. And I asked her, what is causing this? I said, have evolutionists gotten to you? And she said, no, no, I'm actually okay with biblical explanations of creation. She said, what I have a problem with is history, in which, for example, conquistadors or oppressive powers with priests have gone on, like native populations, forced Christianity, or people in the world that their only exposure to Christianity would be forced and through an oppressive type environment. And she said, how can they then be accountable for believing in Christ? And in turn, why would they go to hell if the only representation they got was a bad one?
Yeah, well, of course, you don't go to hell because the only representation of God that you got was a bad one. You are justly and condignly condemned because you did not respond to the light that you have been given. And this is one of the points that the Apostle Paul makes on Mars Hill in the Areopagus. And he is there saying that from one man God created every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and that God did this so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Which is to say, no matter where you are on planet Earth, you have the light of creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Not only that, but wherever you are on the planet, you also have the light of conscience, which is to say that God has placed within you a knowledge of himself. And so we are without excuse. Now, if we respond to the outer light of creation and the inner light of conscience, then we will receive the light of Christ. That is the promise. That can happen through the means of a missionary. It can happen through a non-normative means as well. God supernaturally revealing himself to a person. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus said that light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the real issue is not that there's not enough light. The real issue is that men and women reject the light that could be theirs. Now, that does not in any way alleviate the pain and the suffering and the damage done by people who profess the name of Christ but use tactics that are utterly Christless. We should bemoan that, but that is the condition of humanity. Humanity is fallen and sinful, and many people in the name of Christ, or even in the name of religion in general, do unspeakable atrocities. But that, again, is not to say that a person is with excuse. They're still without excuse because they have light other than that person. Again, the light of creation, the light of conscience, and the light of Christ. And everyone has enough light so that they can respond to more light, according to the Apostle Paul.
Okay, how would they get more light then if they, for example, they were illiterate? And how would they respond to both the conscience and the external light?
Well, here's what happens. If you respond to the light of creation, then you're responding to the very fact that there is a God. In other words, every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. And so now you start with the premise that there's an uncaused first cause. That uncaused first cause is also evident within you. And if you respond to that light, then you will receive more light. In other words, God will reveal himself. Now, the ultimate self-revelation of God is through the person and work of Jesus Christ. But it's never the absence of truth that damns. It's always the denying of truth that damns. It is the despising of that truth that ultimately damns people. But the question about the atrocities committed in the name of Christ, that question was anticipated by Christ himself, who long ago proclaimed to his followers that they would be recognized by the way they lived their lives. And therefore, to classify as Christians those who are responsible for instigating atrocities is to beg the question of who Christ's disciples are to begin with. As Jesus pointed out, not everyone who calls him Lord is the real deal. Furthermore, that question implies that Christianity must be false on the basis that atrocities have been committed in the name of Christ. There is no reason, however, why we couldn't turn that argument around and claim that Christianity must be true because so much good has been done in the name of Christ. Think of the countless hospitals and schools, the universities, the relief organizations that have been instituted as a direct result of people who have the sacred name of Christ upon their lips. And I think there's one other point here, and that is those who use this argument fail to realize that the validity of Christianity does not rest on sinful people, but rather on the perfection of Christ alone. The fact that professing Christians commit sins only serves to prove the premise of Christianity, which is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and therefore all are in need of a Savior.
Thank you, sir. Do you have a book that can help me explain this to my daughter? I know you often recommend books.
You know, there is a book that I think would be very helpful in this regard. It was written by Paul Copan. It's called, Is God a Moral Monster? And it is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute.
I remember that. Yep. Okay. Thank you very much, sir, and God bless you, Hank.
God bless you. Prayers for your daughter as well. Thanks for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.